Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. Like Kate Winslet, pushing Leonardo DiCaprio off the raft into the water to join the Titanic at 12,000 feet below the surface of the ocean, so have the Steelmen further extricated the Ravens from their playoff race, fortuitously enhancing their own chances for a postseason play. In a contest that caused us to clutch our chests more than once, Pittsburgh continued its ascent of Mount Lombardi with a 23-16 statement over what had supposedly been the NFL's premier defense. It's November 5th, 2018, episode 63. This is Tom in the Washington, D.C. Outpost. Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. Preamble, really quick, we're still having technical difficulties, so please excuse any glitches you experience in this podcast.
We might start a Patreon page or something like that. If you guys want to buy us a new computer, you will enjoy the podcast that much more. But for now, we're still going with popsicle sticks and glue.
So let's jump into it. We have a little news. We have to acknowledge what has been firing up the Twitter sphere. And who's the guy from ESPN whose only job is to follow Le'Veon Bell?
Schefter.
Schefter. Man, he is the gift that keeps on giving.
I think one, I don't know if it was Neil Cooling or whatever his name is, the Pittsburgh writer, said something earlier today. He basically saying, "I'm ashamed to admit this, but no, there are no flights from Pittsburgh to Miami tonight. Yes, he could fly out from nearby cities. And yes, this is what my life has come to." So that's we're back on our favorite segment, ladies and gentlemen.
Bell Watch.
Bell Watch once again. Just get it out of the way earlier, in the show. I have, nobody knows what this guy's going to do. I've thought that it would be in his best interest just to sit out the entire season. The Steelers obviously could reserve the right to franchise tag him again. If he sat out all the games, I believe they could franchise him at the same price. But that might not even necessarily be true because he's already accrued 5 years with the same team. Either way, no matter what happens, they're not franchise tagging the guy again. James Conner's here and they're not going to want to deal with the headache. As far as him not playing, lowering his value to another team, that's not true. Somebody's going to pay him. The Browns or the Dolphins or the Colts or the Jets. Somebody's going to pay the guy no matter what. As far as the timing for Le'Veon coming back to the team, I mean, it's the Steelmen. We need drama. This has been the most drama-free couple of weeks, and we've won all the games. It's been nice. But like we said, it's the lifeblood of this team, some drama. So feels a little weird that he's possibly coming back right now when the team's finally found an identity. But look on the bright side, having an insurance policy for the star starting running back, a.k.a. James Conner, is only a good thing. And, the more weapons in the cupboard, the better. I think the Steelers will know what's good for him and keep feeding the rock to James Conner, maybe give Lev a couple carries here or there while he gets into football shape, away from jet ski shape.
What is the there is one deadline coming up. I think it's 5 days. What's the deadline for him to come back or not play?
I don't know the date, but it's like week 11 or something like that. So he has 8 days from the recording of this podcast, so 7 once it comes out, to come in and sign his franchise tender to be able to play this year. So obviously he tweets that cryptic tweet. It does look like he's going to come back. I don't know why else he would say that. But just one more thing to address. I tweeted this out earlier, but for all the people who I'm surprised that the number of people who say this on Twitter, not hugely credible sources, but some people are saying this. For all the people saying to put Le'Veon at wide receiver 3, that let's just end that conversation right now. I don't know how many times we got to tell you people. He's an incredible pass-catching running back. He's not a wide receiver. his four whatever speed isn't scaring any DBs with deep balls. He doesn't run deep outs or comebacks or posts or anything like that. He is the man at running back and catching passes out of the backfield. Maybe they will line him up a little bit on the outside here or there, but you're not just going to like plug him in as the starting slot receiver. So we'll see what happens when he gets there. It's going to take him a while to get out of jet ski shape.
Let's dispense with this pablum and get on to the victory. So we had a quality victory over the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, after that first game, it does seem like the Steelers just need a little time to get the engine going.
They do. It always makes you think, why do they have to drop the early season games, like the tie to the Browns? It always seems like it takes them a while to get going. Once again, they go undefeated in October. It's kind of like a yearly tradition almost. But you know what? Teams lose in the beginning of the year. The Patriots lost to Detroit. Other people have lost games as well. You know, Chargers lost two tough ones early in the year. But it is what it is. All I know is that that's a super quality victory we had over the Ravens the other day. It's yet again another divisional slugfest. I forgot to put out a prediction towards this game on our last podcast, but I was predicting it would probably be like 24-20 Steelers. That's just kind of the area where the score usually resides in these games, especially with Baltimore's number one ranked defense. I know they've been going through some issues recently, but they got players all over the place. And the Steelers, there's just good trends that are continuing now. And the Steelers are starting to form an identity as a whole team, and offensively and defensively individually, with defense that is holding in the red zone and offense that's converting in the red zone and having a balanced attack with the rush in the pass. So those things are encouraging. You're seeing, it's not like the Steelers are getting a lucky play here or there. They're improving week by week as a team, and they're winning in the process. Obviously, it does huge favors for the standings.
Yeah, you made the point that the Ravens were moving the ball a bit, but they were sputtering and ending up with field goals.
So that's pretty much the biggest key to this game, is that the Steelers forced the Ravens to get field goals in the red zone, and the Steelers ended up converting, which has become a new trend. Before the season started, Art Rooney cited red zone offense as one of the reasons for why they moved on from Todd Haley to the Feetmaster, Randy Feetner. And I think we do have a big enough sample size at this point to say, holy crap, he has really improved that. The Steelers got to be in top five as far as red zone percentages. I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure they're really high. And it continued again in a super difficult environment, which is playing away in Baltimore. And so that's really encouraging to see that's part of the team's DNA. I mean, it's not just luck. The play calling is different. Where last year, it seemed like Haley couldn't decide if he wanted to be pass first or run first in the red zone. He would just kind of line Ben up with five receivers and say, just find the open guy. Well, there's not a lot of space down there in the red zone, so you got to be more creative. You got to use misdirection like they did on the touchdown pass to James Conner, where they flooded everybody to the side and sneaked James Conner out. You got to use weird little screen passes like they've been doing AB every week. So very good job in the red zone, and obviously – what it was like 10 of 15 on third down for the offense.
Well,
brilliant job in situational football.
Sure. Let me just confirm 63% for third down. I just saw the ranking for the red zone offense, and Pittsburgh ranked second to, believe it or not, Cincinnati. Yeah. Cincinnati is 77%. No, we're at 75%. Listen to where we were last year, 53%. And Cincinnati was at 55%. So both teams have improved. Just an interesting tidbit. You wouldn't have predicted Cincinnati. Kansas City is behind us at 73%. But, of course, they never have to get to the red zone to make their scores. So,
well, you know, those dirtbags in Cincinnati need to get first place in something. It's obviously not coming in the playoffs or the division or anything like that. But I digress. Yeah, red zone and third down. Great job offensively and defensively. Defensively, particularly in the red zone. They did let up some third downs, but they did a good job holding. Go for it.
Sorry for my interruption. I mean, I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball. So Baltimore was 6 in third down efficiency with about 46%. We held them to 4 for 12 on third down efficiency in this game. So another indicator of the ascension of the defense.
Yep. Agreed.
Articulate. Well done.
Quite. You said it all for me. So the situational football was the big difference in the game. And then the other thing was just the emergence and the continued improvement of this ball control offense. What did the Steelers have, like 11 more minutes of time of possession? They opened the second half, the Steelers did. I believe, wasn't that the 15-play drive that took up 8 minutes, half of the third quarter, and the Ravens still didn't get the ball? Ended it with a touchdown. I mean, it's just suffocating. And we talked about that a few years ago, the first few years with Todd Haley, when Steelers would always win the time of possession, and then they weren't able to capitalize in the red zone. They would kick a field goal, then the crappy defense would go on the field, and the other team would score in 3 plays, and the time of possession amounted to nothing. Well, this is a little bit different because the Steelers are converting in the red zone, and the defense is a little bit more complimentary. So if there's one thing you take from this game, it's that a little over halfway through the season, the offensive line is the MVP of this team.
Absolutely. Just to add a little flavor to what you were saying, that the Steelers had the ball 36 minutes. In the first half, we had it 16. So that means in the second half, we had the ball twice as long as the Ravens did.
Yeah, it's just soul-sucking. And there's nothing better than crushing a Ravens fan or teammate or coach or just resident of the city of Baltimore. There's nothing better than crushing their souls. And that's what they did. It was great. So the O-line, unbelievable. I don't think they surrendered a sack the whole game because I'm not going to count Ben's taking a sack on purpose to wind the clock towards the end of the game there. Connor, I mean, I don't even really think we need to spend much time on James Conner anymore. The guy's a stud. He's a top, you know, definitely a top 10 running back in the NFL. He keeps setting new records every single week. What is it? What
did he do? Some crazy thing. In 4 games, he had 4 games of 100 yards catching, a touchdown, and he sold popcorn.
50 total yards. And the record is this. He's the first running back in NFL history to have 4 games of over 150 all-purpose yards with 2 touchdowns, or 1 touchdown, I guess, in the game. And it's not even halfway through the season. And so this guy is breaking Steelers records. He's breaking NFL records. He gets a huge help, as Mike Tomlin said, from this offensive line who's opening up huge holes. But even when they don't open up holes, he finds yards. And then when they give him, you know, a 5-yard hole, he's taking 10 yards and he's making clutch plays, and the dude just knows how to find the end zone. It's crazy. So Connor and the O-line have been killing it. Ben and Feetner have got this short passing game together. This is a more smooth version of what Todd Haley tried to put in place. It reminds me a little bit. It's a little Patriots-like and a little Saints-like with these death from efficient paper cuts. I mean, how many third downs did Ben convert to with little slants to Juju?
Yeah, we're doing to them what they've been doing to us for 3 years.
They have. And you know what? Cincinnati and Baltimore traditionally do one thing, which is they play 2 deep safeties pretty much the whole game. And they try to force Ben to throw underneath because Ben can't help it. He's got to throw bombs. If he doesn't throw a bomb, he needs to fake an injury. And nobody wants that. I'm just kidding. A gigantic man fell on him that looks like it hurt. By the way, I'm not proud of the way I acted. I don't want to say this here, but maybe me admitting my faults will help you guys feel better about yourself. But the way I reacted when Ben went down is not becoming for an adult, but I do think it was appropriate.
On game day, we're all children. We're all wide-eyed children on game day.
I mean, especially against the Ravens. I mean, geez. But Ben and Feener have put this short game together, and it's looking really good.
So there were some negatives. And I just, you know, it depresses me to talk about Chris Boswell and this missed extra point. It does seem like it's in his head. He's fully capable. We saw what he's done for the last 3 years. He was amazing. And now you cross your fingers every time he toes up.
Yeah, this is a nightmare, and I just don't see any way that this isn't going to be a problem. I mean, unless he can get a little string of games, which he might be afforded the opportunity soon with all the tough teams we're playing, he needs to have like a couple games where he either hits some long 50-yarders or a clutch game-winning kick. He needs to do something to to knock the Saran wrap off, because ever since his early season struggles, he hasn't even really been called upon to make field goals, and that's good on the offense, but I think the only way he gets out of this is by making some big plays. But right now, it's like what I've been saying all season. Whenever I've seen a kicker get the yips like this, and there's been quite a few of them this year, the Chargers just fired their kicker, Caleb Sturgis. I don't often see guys come back from it. So he would need to hit some real confidence building. They need to do some team building with Boz. That's what they need to do.
Maybe he needs to meditate. Oh, I forgot. That's all they do.
Maybe.
Maybe you should take up smoking.
They meditate and they do arms.
We also the penalties are somewhat disconcerting, but I found it interesting. I looked up the statistics. The Steelers lead the NFL in penalties with 691. If you're looking at the offense, if you're looking at the defense, we have 475 yards of penalties, which ranks us 17th. So as prominent as these penalties appear to us during the game, it's not as bad as it could be.
It's not. They've been first place since the first week of the season. They have not relinquished first place, including the bye week, where apparently they must have got 10 penalties without us knowing, because after the bye week, they were still in first place.
On the offense, though. On the offense. On the defense.
What? You're saying the offense has more
penalties? Yeah, they have 690 yards in offensive penalties. We have 475 on the defensive side of the ball. So, surprise, totally blows me away. I don't know how we got to 690 on offense, but I will tell you that the killer are these pass interferences. And I understand that the play calling is very inconsistent. Not the play calling, but the penalty calling is inconsistent. Edmonds.
Super inconsistent.
Edmonds, 33-yard penalty. Burnett, 16 yards. Sensenbaugh, 19 yards. One of those leading to a touchdown. That is it's disconcerting. And I realize some of these things are just blown calls. But it is what it is. But it's been a problem consistently for the Steelers.
Yeah, those I thought were a little bit ticky-tacky, but they're also just a result of what we knew. The Steelers have big problems at inside linebacker and safety, and luckily the inside backers have played well this year, haven't been tested necessarily by an elite unit, and the safeties have definitely not been tested by an elite unit since Patrick Mahomes could have ended their careers with what he did to the Steelers. So they're unable to get to a spot. They really have no ball skills when the ball is in the air. We'll get more into that later. And those penalties, I don't even know if they're a lack of discipline, those pass interference, as much as a lack of skill. But they did make some plays here and there. Penalties are a huge problem. I'm gonna look at it as a positive because I want to get into the segment later, but it is an upside. It has an upside, I should say. The concerning thing is the penalties haven't gotten better. I mean, there might have been one game where they didn't commit a bunch of penalties, but it's not like I've seen a progression towards getting rid of them. They've just stayed bad the whole time. But you would think if they could clean some of that up, they're going to get a lot more leeway. Well, so we'll see what it looks
consistency
like.
Consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, as you know. So we put this thing on. We put this next this next point under negatives, but really a negative for Baltimore, and that is that Flacco was almost inept on half of the passes he threw.
Yeah, so Flacco definitely missed some wide open TDs. I know the national media is talking a lot about how Lamar Jackson was standing, jumping up and down after faking a reverse in the end zone in the red zone, I should say. And Flacco just didn't even look at him and basically threw it to a Steelers fan in the first row. Obviously, there was a touchdown pass that he missed to Michael Crabtree that he threw a little bit short. There were a couple third downs that he missed. Listen, you can give the Steelers credit for some of those because on a lot of those plays, he was pressured. But I basically put this Baltimore failures thing on the negative side just because I wanted to get three. I'm not really dinging them for that much too. I'm not going to ding the Steelmen for that too much. You know, it's the old adage, you play who's in front of you. If you look at all the other great teams, they're playing teams who make a lot of mistakes as well. And this is still a work in progress. From what we saw in the first three games from the Steelers defense to where they are now, this is big time improvement. They weren't going to go from worst to first right away. And they did a great job in other elements.
All right, let's look at some points on the defensive side. We are talking about the defense of the ball now. The defense generally prevented some big chunk plays, but I will say they gave up five splash plays. That is pass plays of over 15 yards. They gave a couple long runs to Crabtree. But all in all, I mean, when you look at
Alex Collins,
looking at Crouchy Head and then hold on, sorry, looking at game book and I'm reading too fast. No, please carry on.
Well, it was Collins. I'm gonna tell you right now. It was Alex Collins.
It began with C.
There was a couple. I thought they kept him bottled up. Hey, here's the thing. If you guys were listening to the podcast last year, or you watched the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, you would realize that they, ESPN actually said the exact numbers, but basically we were giving up a 40 plus yard pass play, usually a touchdown, once per game for like 12 games in a row or something insane. Well, the Steelers have cut that down a little bit. And I think it's been four games in a row where no one's had that type of long pass on us. And that's especially crucial against Baltimore. Listen, their offense is pretty much based off of pass interference, and they did get three of those. But the first game was marred by some of those long passes to John Brown. Well, Steelers completely shut him down. You can't give the Ravens those free plays downfield. You got to make Joe Flacco have to put together long drives and convert third downs because he just can't do it. And if you give them the freebies, it's too easy. And guess what? They didn't give them the freebies. That's a big improvement for the Steelers.
True. So 57 yards in total rushing and 112 yards in passing. You can't ask for more than that. Right.
Not at all.
So I guess we can get to this one to get to the grades, but I wanted to note the pressure that was on Flacco most of the game. There was a pressure all game. It was more effective in the first half. We had five guys coming 80% of the plays. A lot of it came from inside rather than having the silver bullet, jump street from the side. But I thought that was very effective in the first half. It looks like Baltimore made an adjustment at halftime and was able to fend that off generally in the second half.
One little note I'll put is that Stephon Tuitt seems to finally be coming on. He had a nice sack. Obviously, he was on a little scramble from Flacco, so it wasn't like he just crushed his man. But towards the end of the game there on their desperation drive, Cam Hayward just absolutely bulldozed his guy back into Flacco, rushing him out of the pocket, or flushing him out of the pocket, if you will, and then Tuitt chased him down. But Tuitt, I think he has three games in a row with the sack, so great to see him come on.
On the negative side of the defense, we only have had one turnover in the last four games.
One more positive. Oh. Hey, we'd be.
I want to hold on him. Are we talking about the same thing?
Okay. All right.
I want to highlight this in the grades. Yeah. I'd like to go negative. I'd like to go half glass, half empty, which is the lack of turnovers that we're experiencing. Although I said so, the Steelers aren't turning the ball over themselves. We are not garnering them on defense.
I don't know what that. There was a giant. Like the gain on your microphone just jumped up a little bit. It seems like it went back to normal.
Got excited.
For one second, it got really loud. So sorry, you guys, if it blew out your ears. But like I said, Patreon page. Yeah, one turnover in four games. I keep saying this about the Steelers defense. They only have so much upside. They've got some athletes, so they could be an exciting complimentary defense. They've really played awesome the past four games, especially for who they have. But the defense, there is no shutting down people in the NFL. And if the Steelers want to win a Super Bowl this year, they're going to play some absolute offensive juggernauts. So what you need to be able to do is force field goals in the red zone. Okay, check. We got that. And then create some turnovers. We are not creating turnovers. We don't have many people who can really do it. Joe Hayden's the only guy who I can say confidently that he has some skills with the ball in the air. Everybody else is just nowhere even close. So I don't know if those are going to ever come, but hopefully the team speed that the Steelers have as a defense can start forcing more turnovers, because one turnover in four games is not going to cut it.
Right. And I think we had one of the negatives we mentioned previously are the DBs watching, especially on the long ball. They don't seem to be able to play the ball in the air. We got called on some PIs, although one of those definitely was ticky-tack. But it's something I think we need to install a hinge in Edmonds' neck, because he really is just staring at the wide receiver.
We'll get into that in the grades.
Let's move on. One thing.
Anyways, you want to move on to the offense?
Yeah. So I think we've already mentioned the offensive line. We couldn't be more thrilled. And with Matt Filer in there, it's as if it's not even an issue.
It's crazy because we were worried about the loss of Hubbard. Remember in the offseason, we said besides the glaring needs at linebacker, corner, and safety, the other ones we were looking at were the third receiver, which is still an issue the Steelers are trying to figure out. And we said the loss of Chris Hubbard was big because last year Hubbard had to play half the season. Obviously, our other guy, BJ Finney, the swing guard, He had to play a lot. And when those guys went in, the quality of play didn't drop off at all. And so we didn't take that for granted. But, man, Filer, it looks like Hubbard number two. It looks like Kelvin Beachum number two. Mike Munchak gets MVP number two after the offensive line because you're right. I mean, they're not missing a beat with this guy.
So we also talked about, I guess we already touched on time of possession, 36 minutes for the Steelers, 23 for Baltimore. Yes. Obviously, something we complain about ourselves when the Steelers offense is off the field. It feels like the corrosion begins and to the detriment of the offense, but it worked in the reverse this game.
Yeah, it did. And like we said before, just the feet master, who we'll get in a little more detail later in the grades, he's just doing a good job mixing it up. He knows when to ride the hot hand in the run game, and he's doing so much more with the short passing game and misdirection and just taking advantage of the little short crossing routes that Juju always finds himself wide open on. And we did cover a lot of this stuff. We're looking at some notes right here earlier. But, you know, James Conner, he's a star. And you know what? I liked seeing 38, Jalen Samuels, the rookie. I like seeing him in there for just a little bit, one series in the third quarter. You have to give Connor a break here and there. I don't care what Tomlin thinks. Aditi Kinkabwala, I believe, asked him in the news conference on Monday if he's worried at all. Basically, I'm paraphrasing here, if he's worried that just giving Connor the ball constantly like this could lead to some wear and tear down the road, and he said not at all. And I'm like, hey Mike, what's your sample size for here? Le'Veon Bell has never made it through a full season until last year when he was actually healthy against the Jaguars. But other than that, the first 4 years of his career, he didn't make it through. And that was evidenced most highly in his unbelievable playoff run where he broke the Steelers rushing record in the wild card, then broke that record in the divisional, and then couldn't play against the Patriots because he had a bum hamstring. You got to give him some time off. So I like seeing Jalen Samuels in there.
So the other thing we noted was the lack of a deep passing game, but I looked at last year's statistics compared to this year, and it's a mixed bag. There are some statistics. One is called complete air yards. Last year, at this time during the season last in 2017, Bev was at 6.2 air yards per attempt. He's at 4.6, clearly much lower.
Oh, that's big.
In intended air yards. And what this means is how many yards was he trying for when he threw this? Last year was at 10. This year he's at 8. But the longest completed air distance was 51 yards this year and 42 last year. This is actually ball in the air, not yards after catch. So that's a little bit more, that's higher. But yeah, he is less aggressive.
That's just one play though, right?
It's one play. I think the tail of the tape is the fact there's an aggressiveness score. Last year, that means you're throwing to a receiver with a defender within a yard of the receiver. He did that almost 20% of the time last year. We're down to 16%. That doesn't seem like a lot, but I think you have to believe your eyes and say we are less aggressive this year. His quarterback rating is a little higher. We know that that's sort of hard to interpret, the quarterback rating that has too many variables in it. His completion rate is up, 65% versus 61 last year. So it is true, not going downfield as much, even though we did note there were some struggles at the beginning of last season, and then it got uncorked in the second half, which is what we're going to hopefully see coming up.
Well, this was the whole story last year. If you guys remember, it was, why can Martavis Bryant not get on track? Why is Ben missing so bad down the field? Well, he's not even really attempting as many of the bombs. He would have hit a couple more intermediate passes if they hadn't, if Juju hadn't dropped one and they took away Juju's in the middle of the game. But he's not throwing those go balls like he's used to throwing, especially to AB. And the one that they had last week against the Browns, I look more as not really a broken play, but more or less that, like a busted coverage where they were just letting AB wide open, as opposed to, if you remember his game last year versus the Ravens when he hit AB on, you know, three go routes against the Packers, he was hitting go routes. It's not happening. He's not really trying them right now. I'm not going to say it's alarming, but it is definitely something that he's going to need to add to the arsenal, and the Steelers are going to need to figure out, do we need, you know, Washington to emerge as a deep threat? Is this a schematic thing? I sort of think that Ben still shows easily the physical ability to do it. There looks to be no problems with his arm whatsoever. So I think it's same thing as usual with Ben. He's a rhythm shooter. He needs to knock the Saran wrap off. He needs to hit a couple of them in order for it to get going when we're going to be playing these juggernauts like the Saints and the Patriots down later in the season.
I think the other negative, and it's a faux negative, if we don't score 42 points, everybody's disappointed. We certainly, 23 points seems below what we would have expected, but this is an AFC North game. We won the game. You saw it. Baltimore plays tough. It was number one defense.
Yeah, you got to give them credit for that. I put that on there just to keep an eye on because, you know, Cam Newton and the Panthers, they had some help, but they scored like 36 against Baltimore last week. You can't really compare apples to apples like that. I was happy with the 23 victory there. I thought that the Steelers did some incredible things in offense, especially when it comes to controlling the clock. And they're doing some things that I don't know many other teams can do. Maybe the Chargers are looking like that. Obviously, the Chiefs can do whatever they want. But Steelers have an interesting look about them right now. And hopefully they keep scoring more points, because if you've seen any of the marquee games this year, when it's Chiefs versus Patriots, or the other night when you had Rams versus Saints, all those are going 42 to 45. You're going to need to be able to get to that level. But then again, not everyone has Baltimore's defense.
Before we move on to the next segment, I wanted to recognize and give a shout out to Bud and Gail, two new fans who are listening to the podcast. And I got a notification when we got some technical glitches that he highlighted for us, which I appreciate because, as I said, we are patching this together with chewing gum and baling wire. As soon as I can get this, my iMac to the Genius Bar, we'll get this all wrapped up. But Bud and Gail, big shout out. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this show. Hey, speaking of chewing gum and baling wire, I have been, you know, Nick and I watch the game independently, obviously, and we're on Skype watching the game together generally. But now with this computer out, I have an iPad, a 7-year-old iPad. Imagine the power of a 7-year-old iPad that's full of whatever I've downloaded through the years. It's coughing its way. I keep track of the stats on ESPN, but I was trying to make some bets on my bookie. And I missed it because, you know, the stupid iPad wasn't keeping up and it crashed. But they do let you do in-game prop bets. And I went in.
Yes, they
and
do.
Every time I placed a bet, the latency in the iPad would move us past the time when I was allowed to place it. So I was frustrated. So I did not get to bet this last week, but I will say we are up 30% this year so far. Next, and we are definitely betting on the Steelers to win by the spread this week. I haven't seen what the spread is at this point. I'm sure you all know it, but we're also going to do that. Who scores in the, who's leading at the half. So once again, we were successful crowdsourcing that question. Please send us, and we'll tell you at the end how to get a hold of us. We'd love to know what you think. Who's going to be ahead at halftime?
Well, that's a good one, because apparently I did not realize this at all, but what they said during this game was the Steelers are the only team to not be losing at halftime entire season. Were they down this game against Baltimore?
We will check while you're giving us a little highlight of my bookie.
Yeah, I don't know. It was joyous. I laughed. I said, what an amazing stat. And then I laughed again when somebody asked me how I'm betting on the games for the upcoming week. Because, dude, we told you. We spend hours, days studying the Steelers. But, I mean, even with all that study, we don't know if the team's going to win, let alone know anything about the point spread. But here's something that we are confident in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my bookie. My bookie offers bettors in all major markets an entertaining lineup of gaming options, dude. They have unique prop bets that you won't find anywhere else, which is a huge plus for you fantasy fanatics if you can get your first-generation iPad working, that is. Rather than living day-to-day, having to rely on a whole team to perform in order to win, you can just choose one. That's one player. Juju, maybe. Sure. I don't know. AB, to perform or underperform. You can bet on Cam to underperform once he comes into the City of Champions and soils himself when he sees the glory. So you fantasy sports lovers will have an edge when betting on the game within the game. Take advantage of in-game live betting on over-unders or fantasy points scored. They offer a plethora of major bonuses, including welcome offers, reloads, and cashbacks. You'll find sports book promotions and casino rewards and a huge variety of different value-added programs that should cater to most bettors' preferences. It's like a his and hers. You've seen those mattress commercials? They don't pay us to advertise for them. Maybe they will if they're listening to this, because clearly my bookie's on the same page. They give you preference. Whatever your preference is, they got it for you, because my bookie has a great mobile site that is easy to use with a sleek design that offers for easy navigation. There is a company, this is a company, whose customer service you can actually access with a phone call, a callback request, or an online chat. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. You should know this by now. We've told you. You can take advantage of generous bonus options. No Scrooge situation here, ladies and gentlemen. It's generous. If you make a deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Okay? You can actually, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can slow my speech down to like 50 or 25%. If numbers confuse you, like they sometimes do for me in those situations, and you can figure out what I just said, or I can, if I say it slowly right now, you could slow it and it'll be extra slow. An additional 20, I'm sorry, I won't make you sit through that. Join now and my bookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code
Outpost25.
Outpost 25 to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag online today, and don't forget to use the promo code
Outpost25
when creating your account. Outpost 25 to claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid.
You exhaust me. Let's get into the grades, starting with the all-powerful Ben Roethlisberger,
the gunslinger. Let's just go over a couple of his misses real quick, because he did have, you know, the weekly misses. He did have the weekly, oh my God, why are you throwing that pass when he threw across his body to try and hit Jesse James in the red zone? Should have been a pick. They dropped it. Maybe the outlaw did a good job of keeping the ball out of the guy's hands. But he's having a problem right now with the screen game. For a guy who's 6'5", 340 pounds of pure muscle, he has a lot of problems throwing those little dump-off screens, particularly to James Conner, to the running back. He gets them batted constantly, or he throws them too high. And James Conner, you could say he should have caught that one at the end of the second half, but it got tipped up. That was almost an interception in our own territory. Such a weird issue to have. Again, just seems mental to me, because there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to hit those. So having some trouble with that. But you know what? He's moving really well in the pocket. Maybe a little bit too much. Scared me to death with that run where he got hurt, got the wind knocked out of him later in the game. But he made two incredible plays, vintage Ben Roethlisberger plays, when he scrambled around and hit Connor. He hit Juju on one as well. And we praised him earlier for actually taking what the defense was giving him. He's been doing a much better job of that. Like we said, he needs to get that deep game going. But I do like seeing him paper cut some defenses to death. So give him some credit, give Fiedner some credit. And honestly, his stat line would have looked a lot nicer if Juju didn't have that horrific drop on a nice drive there. I don't remember if it was at the end of the second quarter or whenever it was, but big time drop from Juju. Then another 30-yard pass to Juju that got called back from holding. So he would have had a lot more yards and a couple really big plays that got taken away from him. And the last thing you got to say, no turnovers. Baltimore on the road has been a very difficult place for Ben. Still hasn't thrown for 300 yards there, but he didn't make any turnovers, protected the ball, converted a bunch of third downs. Didn't dominate. Two touchdown passes were mostly a result of Connor and AB, but he did a good job. We're giving him a grade of B+.
So let's move on to the man running back, James Connor.
We don't need to spend much time on this. What else do you want? I mean, he's pass blocking great. He's running the ball great. He's breaking tackles. He's scoring a touchdown every game. He's catching the ball well. He's the man, one of the best backs in the league right now. Some people aren't giving him credit. They think it's just the Steelers' offensive line, but this guy's making the most out of it. James gets a grade of 8.
So we had a little bit of disappointment at wide receiver. You mentioned one that Juju, again, he's having a little bit of the dropsies this season. Interestingly, James Washington has been inserted into the lineup. He also had his own issues, but
love that.
You know, I could give him a pass a little sooner than I can give it to Juju, but that was a little problem at wide receiver.
Yeah, I liked Washington's game. I'm still on record as saying it's just a waste of time to play Justin Hunter last week. Just keep playing Washington. I mean, you even saw his growth throughout the course of the game. Ben might have missed that first out route to Washington, but I also think that he didn't get his head around very quickly. Not a great accurate throw, but he needs to know how to catch those. Well, they hit him on the same pattern later in the game, and he held it like Dan Kreider. Two arms around the ball, head down, and charged forward for 8 yards. So one thing with Washington, though, there was also a deep pass on like a third down where Ben threw a back shoulder, and I guess he was complaining about a holding penalty on the defensive back, but it looked like that could have been a big gain. He had a lot of room towards the sideline. He's just got to get some chemistry with Ben going. Juju, he's been bobbling it even when he's caught it a little bit this year. So that drop was really bad, man. He had a lot of open space to run towards the red zone, killed a drive. Don't love that. AB did a good job. Obviously, Ben's not doing a good enough job of getting him involved downfield, but we're going to give them a grade of
B. And moving on to the tight ends, you've already mentioned them.
Not too much to say there. Jesse James almost did a good job of ruining the easiest catch of his career on that 55-yarder where he bobbled it in the sun. Vance had a drop. They contributed in the run game for sure, but pretty quiet from a receiving angle. We're giving them a grade of B.
Offensive line, I think we've already highlighted this. They were simply amazing. Last week, I think Villanueva gave up a sack, but that was it, and we gave them an A-plus back then. We saw, Garrett, right. Garrett, but this Garrett. Week, great. I think Ben did a great job. He did sort of improvise on a couple of times, which actually puts more pressure on the offensive line, but they were fantastic.
Yeah. They're amazing. I mean, they're a top three group in the NFL. They're carrying this team right now. I mean, and can't say enough about Filer. They get a great.
So let's move on to the Feetmeister.
I have so many convulsions about him giving up on third and long, and I write it in caps because that's the way I feel on Twitter during the game. Every third and long in this season, I'm seriously wondering if I'm not being hyperbolic here, if it's every third down he hands it off or throws a screen. That's a little frustrating. You'd like to see them be a little more aggressive. Then again, you want to make the Ravens drive the whole length of the field. Don't give them anything free with a turnover. So I get that. That's my only complaint about him right now, because he is crushing it. And we mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, but we're far enough in the season now to see the work he's doing with the Steelers red zone offense and the third down, just much more creative play calling. He mixes it up on third down and one. He runs it when he should run it. They went for a fourth down. They got that. Just the death by efficient paper cuts that they're using. This offense is forming an identity. He had a much better start to the game, finding Ben some easy completions on the first drive to get the ball rolling. He's doing a great job. Very excited about to see the improvements he's going to continue to make. I thought this was one of his best games, if not his best game. And for that, we got to give him an A+.
Let's move on to the other side of the ball and looking at the defensive line. And again, this, my lament every show, it's hard to highlight one position group over the others. Defensive line. There were 61 yards rushing this game. There were a couple of breakout plays, but for the most part, I mean, 61 yards rushing, my goodness. And then the quarterback pressure was there all game, although I will say that I think Baltimore handled it much better in the second half, and we had the sack.
Yep. They did a good job. I don't have much to add. I mean, 61 yards rushing, that's nothing. Alex Collins torched us for 200 last year. That's far from what we experienced this time. Granted, they did have two starters out on the line and another starter that was hurt.
Yeah, you've got to do. Yeah, I mean, you do what you're expected. If they had not done well against second and third tier offensive linemen, that would have not have boded well for this grade. But we're giving the defensive line an A. And the same with the edge rushers. I think, again, they were in the backfield. The Steelers rushed five guys 80% of the game, and not all of those were blitzes from quarterbacks. So the cornerbacks, they had a lot of inside linebacker blitzing. The edge, I thought Bud had an okay game again. Nothing noticeable on outside contain.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see the Steelers quarterback on any blitzes. I just don't know how effective that would be. Although you don't know. I mean, Ben's strong.
It's my Pittsburgh. It's my accent. So.
Who knows
corner.
What happened there?
Back.
I'm with you. Yeah, they're okay. I thought TJ Watt was really quiet and he got swallowed up a few times. But Bud, for the second week in a row, won a one-on-one pass rush. It was beautiful.
Edge rushers get an A. And I think,
seems a little high. That seems a little high, but we'll give it to him.
I mean, my goodness, and what do you want? I mean, I'm grouping all these guys together. I think the inside linebackers at Bostic did a great job. He was part of that five-man rush. You're laughing. Did I mispronounce Bostic?
Yeah, no, I mean, what do I want? No, you did. He just said, what do you want? I said, well, yeah. Beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging. I think the Steeler defense did what it needed to do. I mean, it's a subpar offense at this point, but they did what they had to do. So inside linebackers get an A. I'm giving A's all around. I'm being very generous this time. I was disappointed. So moving on to the defensive backs, Sean Davis, man, I think this guy has found his role.
Very surprised that he's doing this well, but he made a bunch of tackles. I mean, you know, a lot of them were making up for his teammates letting up big plays. But like we said before, the Steelers have had a huge problem for a year now on letting up gigantic plays. And that has not been happening while he's playing free safety, waiting back there. He's got to get a lot of
tackles. So we are giving the DBs a B. Sorry.
Well, hold on one sec before you go in there.
Really?
I'm not giving them a B. Definitely not. Because Morgan Burnett and Terrell Edmonds are horrible. I mean, those guys. Morgan Burnett.
Are you giving Flacco
strong
a grade
because people are coming to me
a poor passing game?
Listen, every time. They weren't horrible, but they're not good. I mean, because there were a number of times in the pass interferences, they were a little ticky tacky, but they weren't egregious. There's an issue that Terrell Edmonds has that he's had since college that we knew he had, and he has not improved at all, which is the guy doesn't know how to play the ball in the air. I mean, it dates back to us giving him a pass in the preseason for getting scored on twice in the red zone by the Packers, right? But even on those plays, he didn't even know when the ball was coming. He jumps, he guesses, he's got a lot of pass interference penalties, no ability to just jump up and make a pick, even when Flacco underthrows it. Bostic, the same thing. These guys do not have any ball skills whatsoever. Now, that's an issue we knew we had. Edmonds is playing a lot earlier than the Steelers wanted him to. And I am a fan of letting guys take their lumps. But Mike Tomlin did mention on the Monday press conference, he basically said that we're trying to get Morgan Burnett to start for Edmonds, but we're just waiting to get him back up to speed after he's been injured. So I had a problem with a couple of those plays because it's just real lack in there. But you're right about Sean Davis. You got to give Hayden credit for doing work on John Brown. And Mike Hilton was the best player on defense. So I can't knock them too much. I would give them somewhere in the B range, though. But you get final word on the defense.
You make a compelling
defense case.
So I'm going to move on. We'll give them a B, and we'll move on to the defensive coordinator. Baltimore 1-for-4 in the red zone, 33% on third down. They're a little short of anemic, but we held them for the most part to field goals and one touchdown.
One of the nicest plays in the game, one of the most crucial plays, was 3rd and 1 from our 8 or 10 or something like that. And Lamar Jackson ran out to the right and had no one between him in the end zone except for Mike Hilton. And Mike Hilton comes in like a silver bullet. And tackles him, gorgeous tackle around the legs, forces them into a field goal just because of the great play of one player. That was awesome. Don't often see that from the Steelers defense. That was gorgeous. So, yeah, liked that. I know we're talking about the DC here, but you did mention the red zone, and that was one of the reasons why we stopped him. He also had a pass breakup in the end zone on a guy who's 6'5".
Hilton's becoming the man. So, defensive coordinator, A. And let's move on to special teams, and I don't lump them all together. Let's highlight a couple of things. Ben Roethlisberger, horrible punting. Sorry. One punt for 27.
Wait, hold on. That was actually a good punt.
Relax.
That was a good punt. I would have landed in the 10 if Weddle wasn't so smart. Ben's a great punter.
When was the last time he pooch kicked like that? It's got to be 5 years. Really?
I thought he did it last year because the Steelers actually put out a Twitter. They put out a tweet saying like, "Who saw this one coming?" And I replied like, "Any of us who have watched Ben play over the years, we all knew exactly what was happening when he started stepping back farther." I think he has 6 punts in his career. But I also saw when he stepped back, his good friend Eric Weddle, who he goes fishing with in the off seasons and does some family dinners apparently. Weddle, good guy, cut his beard recently, by the way, so he looks better, but he's playing worse. I'm just kidding. He was everywhere. He played well. Yeah, Weddle read that. That was I don't know about that call, guys. Either just
that was appropriate. It was very, yeah. So Jordan Berry, 3 punts, 41 yards net. I think he did an adequate job. Ryan Switzer, 3 punt returns for 17 yards. I mean, he really was covered. I don't take anything away from here. His kickoff return was 31 yards. So I think he's doing a fantastic job. Right.
Yeah, that was very nice. He's doing a great job. He's not a guy with game-breaking speed. I could, of course, see him scoring a touchdown at some point eventually, but I'd rather have the guy like Switzer who's going to get you 10 to 15 yards on like every single return. You're always going to have a couple during a game where he gets you 15 and just helps you get better field position on a consistent basis. I'd rather have that than the guy who breaks 2 a year and then, you know, runs backwards and loses yards the rest of the time. So,
all right, final. Yeah, let's not revisit that.
No more to say there.
We have a game this week. We have to turn around this boat really quickly because we are playing the Panthers, who are 6-2 this Thursday at 8:20. The last time we played them was 2014, where we destroyed them 37-19.
Yep. Yeah, huge game. I think there's obviously the 4 juggernauts in the NFL are kind of head and shoulders above everyone right now. Rams, Saints, Patriots, and Chiefs. Then there's this subgroup that I think has finally emerged of the Chargers, the Panthers, and the Steelmen. And there's probably one more that I'm forgetting, but off the top of my head. But those 3, interesting times for this team. What a huge battle. The good news is it's in Pittsburgh. So the Panthers just played the Buccaneers. They got to come to Pittsburgh. I wanted to say one thing real quick, or like a tiny little segment here before we sign off, on what this game means for the Steelers going forward. And this was such a crucial win. We've outlined this the whole season. Steelers played like all their divisional games except for 1 already. So winning those games, huge deal, putting Baltimore into a losing record. I mean, Baltimore is probably going to be out of the playoff race now. They could only lose like 1, maybe 2 more games the rest of the year. It's great. Dispatch those bastards. Get them out of here. But the Steelers are going into an insanely difficult part of their schedule now. They play all the best teams in the NFL this year, except for the Rams. I mean, you got to play the Saints. You got to play the Patriots. I don't think the Jaguars will be easy. You got to play the Chargers and the Panthers coming up here right away. Huge games coming up. And the Steelers still have upside. And they've been improving, but also winning at the same time. I think if Ben gets this deep game uncorked, if someone else emerges on offense, then this offense, sky is the limit. If you get some of these penalties down, again, sky's the limit. If you can find a way to perhaps get a turnover here and there, that's great. So Fietner obviously evolving the offense. It's encouraging to see that the Steelers are playing well and there's still room for them to improve. And speaking I think that they can do it. If they go 5-2 or 5-3 or whatever.
Good. Well, speaking of improving, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love your feedback. We'd love you to interact with us. Nick does a ton of tweeting. It's Ben Franklin-like insight that you can avail yourselves of. So hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Leave us a note on the blog, or as we call it, the website at SteelersOutpost.com as soon as I get it working again. And shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost.com@gmail. Wow, it's been too long. @SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Until next week. And we are going to cover the game on Thursday, but we're going to probably try and get out a quick show just to do a quick recap, but we will be out again next week. Thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.